Good morning, everyone. If you would, open up your Bibles to the New Testament book of James. James chapter 1 is where we'll be for the majority of our time this morning. We will be going to other places, but you might want to keep a marker in James chapter 1. I will do my very best for you this morning to stay behind this microphone as much as possible. As you know, I like to get around and walk, get close to you, but I don't have the headset with me today. I'll do my best, but I make no promises to not move away from this place. As you know, we are continuing in this month looking at a theme of looking at the book of James. Of course, we talked about, I guess it would have been two Lord's Days ago, we talked about the book of James a little bit, understanding that the writer is James, who would have been a leader, most likely an elder at the church there in Jerusalem. We understand that this book was being written specifically to the Jewish Christians, those that were facing persecution from the Romans and from, even from the Jews themselves. So we take an understanding of this book to know that it was written to those that are now going from a place of becoming Christians to now being scattered throughout the world. And James is trying to encourage them, enlighten them on how to be a Christian in your daily life. Now that you're apart from all the people in one place, you need to understand how to be a disciple of Jesus Christ every single day in your daily life. And that's why we are looking at a theme called living out your faith. We have talked about before in a previous theme of how to build your faith, but building our faith will not get us but just half of the way. We must learn how to live out our faith every single day that we live, not just within these four walls when we come together to worship. Before we begin our study, I want to welcome those that are visiting with us this morning. It is so exciting to see new faces and those returning to us that have been here before. Let me just say, we appreciate your presence. We are glad you are here, and we invite you to be back every single time that we are here studying the Word of God together. I hope that you're excited to be worshiping here today. I know that it's a little dreary outside sometimes, but we need to understand in the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, is an exciting opportunity to study and worship God, and I hope that you feel that same way this morning. Let's get into looking at our lesson together. I invite you to look in your outlines together as we study how to be doers of the Word. To be doers of the Word. Two Sunday mornings ago, we talked about the Word of God and how important it was and how we need to start with hearing the Word of God. And that'll be what we're looking at in point number one. As doers of the Word, doers of the faith, those trying to live out their faith for God and for Christ, well, there's some things we need to do. And number one, doers, well, they must hear. Plain and simple, doers must hear. In James chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear," yet it says slow to speak and slow to wrath. Verse 21, "Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul." This morning we need to understand and backtrack a little bit from our lesson we had two Sunday mornings ago to understand that if you want to be a doer for God, well, it must start with hearing. Why is hearing so essential? Because God tells us that if you hear His Word and you obey it, it is able to save your soul. But we have to ask ourselves a very important question this morning as we do this study. Is that enough? Is that enough? Is just hearing the Word of God enough to save our souls, to give us an entrance into heaven? Well, Romans 2 and 13 tells us it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but who? It says, but the doers of the law will be justified. You need to understand this morning, do you want to be a doer for Christ? Are you working right now in your life how to be a better Christian? How to be a better worker for Him? How to be a better example to your family? Better example to those around you? Well, first, let me encourage you to start with hearing the Word of God. It is not enough, though, just to hear, and the Word of God tells us that. Point number two, may I suggest that doers must know the Word of God. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15 says, then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. To understand what we are to do and not to do, well, then we must have knowledge of the Word of God, right? Do you want to be a doer? Do you want to be a better worker for Christ this morning, tomorrow morning, a week from now, a month from now? Well, then you need to hear and know what it is God wants you to do. How else would you know how to do what God says? Otherwise, we go into our own temptations and our own desires, and then we fall into sin. John chapter 6, verse 44 through 45 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Let me just take a moment to clarify that John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45 is a place that is often used falsely. This is a piece of scripture that people like to go to and say, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And they like to say that, see, not everybody can become Christians. Only those that specifically are counted by the Holy Spirit or by God. That there is only a chosen few of people in the world that can become Christians. Brethren, that is not the case with John chapter 6 or throughout the remainder of the New Testament. It is not saying that only certain people are chosen to become Christians, to become doers for God. It is saying that if you want to be taken in by God, there's a very important step that you must be taught and you must learn. You must have the knowledge of the things of the Scriptures, the mind of God. A doer must hear. A doer must know. But we have to ask ourselves the question again, is that enough? Is that enough? Because friends, let me tell you that there are millions of people that know who God is. Millions of people who know who Jesus Christ is. They even have somewhat of a knowledge of the things that are in the Scriptures. Is that enough? Knowing is essential, but I do not believe that that is enough. I want you to keep your marker in James chapter 1 and go with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I want you to read with me verses 17 through 23, if you would. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 23. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know His will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in the darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do not steal. You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Verse 23, you who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? Notice what this is talking about. Do you teach other people who God is? Do you teach what God says about not stealing, about not doing this, not doing that, worshiping Him, being saved this way, not this way? But do you yourselves do it? Romans chapter 2 is talking to people that are more talkers than doers. You understand that it is important for us to know, because without the knowledge we cannot know what God wants. We cannot please Him, carry out the daily acts that we need to do being a Christian. But it is not enough. And Romans chapter 2 speaks to that as does James chapter 1 that we'll talk about more as we go through our lesson together. See, because these people, it talks about in Romans chapter 2, they had all of the knowledge, didn't they? They knew exactly what God expected. They taught other people. Do this, don't do this. But them themselves who taught others, they were not doing. So is it enough to simply know the Word of God? No, it is not. We can have Bible study after Bible study. We can meet together on a personal basis. I can teach you all things in the New Testament, but brethren and friends, if you do not do them, then your knowledge is, well, it's just knowledge. And you can share it with all the people in the world, but if you are not doing it, you are not doing what God asks of you. And that is not enough. But doers must hear. Doers must know. May I suggest a third thing, that doers must believe. Knowledge isn't enough. You must believe it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. Your faith is essential. I say that because I know people that I grew up with. They were taught the ways of God. They heard. They had the knowledge of what to do to become saved, the knowledge of what to do to become a disciple of Jesus Christ and be a faithful Christian. But I know some of them did it because their parents told them to, because it pleased their parents. Later in life, they married a spouse and it pleased the spouse to be a Christian. Friends, that is not a personal belief. Your faith in God, your faith is essential to being a doer. You can tell the whole world that you're a Christian. You can come up here and we can baptize you, immerse you in this water, but if you do not believe it for yourself and doing it for the right reasons, well, then you're not a doer. You're just simply someone who has heard, who has a knowledge, but is doing it for all the wrong reasons. Doers must believe, but I have to ask the question again. Is that enough? No, that is not enough, in case you were wondering. That is not my words, that is the words of the New Testament, the words of James, the words we're going to read together in just a moment. There are people all around the world that believe in God. You ever watched a sporting event, perhaps an award show, by those in Hollywood, you would know that a lot of people believe in God. A lot of people, when they score their touchdown, hit their home run, do whatever it is they do. Make some type of show to God. Kneel, some type of show of a quick prayer. Almost one of the first things out of an award show when somebody wins the award is, I just want to thank God. I'm not here to look into somebody else's life that I do not know personally and call them sinful. But I do just have to wonder, out of all of the people of the world that say they believe and thank you God, are they being doers or are they just being people that have heard, who have a knowledge and at least believe in God? It is not enough for you to just believe. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a child of God? Do you want to grow stronger? Then you have to do more than just have knowledge. Just believe. Let me tell you this morning that a believer, a true believer, well, he must do. We must be doers of the Word, not hearers only. You're in James chapter 1, or have that marked. I'd like to ask you to read with me there, James chapter 1. We're going to read together verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James writes, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, then he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I want to point out a few things that we read in verses 22 through 25 and to make sure that we do not fall in the trap of being one of these it talks about. If we must be doers of the word to be pleasing to God, we need to make sure we understand who it is that is this deceived. Verse 22 says, some people deceive themselves. Who are those that deceive themselves? Well, let me just refer to what we've already studied from the Word of God. It is not enough to simply hear the Word. It is not enough just to believe, to have a faith. But yet people teach every day from pulpits just like this that you can be saved by faith only. May I suggest, as a list that we look at, those are people deceiving themselves. Because that teaching is not from the New Testament. That teaching is not from God. It is not taught by the apostles. Not taught by Paul. Nowhere in the New Testament or anywhere will you find that faith alone saves you. Instead, it is your faith that saves you because it brings you to an obedience. You must have faith. That is true. But your faith saves you because of what it leads you to. Obedience. Obedience to do whatever it is the New Testament has asked you to do. The New Testament, the Word of God, the very mind of God, God breathed Scriptures, says that you must have faith, but then that must motivate you to do something. It must motivate you to be saved by baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 speaks to this when it says there is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Not the removal of filth of the flesh, but notice this with me, brethren. But the answer of a good conscience toward God. What is that answer to God? It is your faith responding to God in the way He is asked. What does God ask? 1 Peter chapter 3, 21, and so many others teach us that you must be baptized. Your faith alone will not save you. Those are those that are being deceived. Those that worship in ways outside the New Testament. I believe verse 22 is saying you are not doing the Word, you are hearing it, and then you are deceiving yourselves. Let us never be guilty in this church of doing anything in worship as a body of Christ that we do not find in New Testament as a command, an inference, or an example. If we do anything outside of what we read in New Testament as far as worship, well then that is the same as deceiving ourselves. That means you have heard it, you have a knowledge, but that you have chosen to worship in another way that is not found in the New Testament. Yet there are thousands, millions of people every Lord's Day that come together and worship in ways that you can find nowhere in the New Testament. And they're deceiving themselves. Let that not be said of us. Not a single person that believes in God should deceive themselves in thinking their thoughts are higher than God. May I suggest another person that can deceive themselves, as verse 22 says, is those of us who just, well, we feel like we're safe. We feel like we're going to heaven because we're generally good people. This applies on both sides of the fence, friends. There are those that have not yet obeyed the gospel. There are those that believe, have a knowledge, but have not yet been baptized, not yet followed the steps that the New Testament says. But they say, well, I'm basically a good person and I do believe it. May I tell you this morning that I am so appreciative that you are a good person. God is pleased with your morals. God is pleased that you believe in Him and that you have a faith in Him. But that is not enough. It is not enough just to be a basically good person. Somebody who doesn't lie, somebody who doesn't steal, somebody who doesn't commit adultery, doesn't murder. Well, those are good things, and you are well on your way to becoming the Christian, the daily disciple that God wants you to be. But it is not enough to just be the good person without doing what the New Testament says. May I just suggest also for a moment, this falls on the side of Christianity as well. See, sometimes as Christians, we point our fingers at those of the world and say, well, they just think they're good people, but they're not going to make it to heaven. And then all the while, never looking at ourselves, we can be guilty too. Children of God can be guilty of saying, well, I've been baptized. I'm basically a good person. I think I'm going to make it to heaven. Well, that's being more of a hearer, someone with the knowledge. Let me encourage you to be a doer. Becoming a child of God is not about, well, let's just be basically a good person. Let's try to stay out of the big sins and one day be in heaven. Being a doer means that you are doing. Every day, every week, every month, you are doing things to grow in Christ. To answer in a good conscience toward God that you believe in Him, you are His child, and you want to do the things He asks you to do. Don't fall into the trap of thinking, well, we're just safe because we're basically good. Let me also suggest this last one for us. You want to be a doer? A child of God that is pleasing. One who is growing. That is on fire for the Lord. Going to work for Him. Well, then please do not fall in the trap of deceiving yourself and thinking somehow your, I put this in quotations, faithful worship attendance gains you an access to heaven. I put it in quotations because we use that incorrectly all the time, and I know what we mean. I'm guilty. I've said it too. But sometimes we'll say the phrase, well, brother or sister so-and-so is a faithful Christian. What we really mean was they faithfully attend here on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. It is possible for us, brethren, to be at every single opportunity to worship God. This church decides to meet three times a week, twice on Sunday and once Wednesday. Others do something different. Whatever it is that the church does, do not be deceived to say, well, I'm here three times a week. I'm a good Christian. You are deceiving yourself if you think attendance alone is being a doer. Being a real doer for Christ means that you are doing when nobody's looking. You are doing on Monday morning. You are doing on Tuesday night. On Saturday, when nobody else is around, you're still doing for Christ. Living your life as a glory for God in whatever you do. Let's not deceive ourselves. First, the second phrase I want us to look at. So I want to talk about who is the forgetful. Who is this forgetful that it talks about in verse 23 and 24? It talks about a man looking into a mirror, observing how he looks, and then walking away, forgetting how he looks. I want to suggest to you this morning that I do not believe this is talking about necessarily the type of forgetfulness that we think about. Oh, it just slipped my mind. It's not talking about how you and I get dressed in the mornings. Men and women, hopefully a little bit different. Men, hopefully don't take as long as the ladies. I don't know. Maybe some of us do. But you know how the first thing you do before you walk out that door is you have to look in the mirror, right? And what's the purpose of looking into the mirror? You got to check it out. You got to make sure everything's acceptable before you let anybody else outside the family take a look at you. For the men, we just hope that our hair is not sideways. We've brushed our teeth. We have some clothes on. Ladies, maybe it's a little bit more for you. There's some makeup. There's some extra things involved there. But you always look in the mirror to make sure before you leave, you know you look good. Making this same point, may I suggest to you what it's talking about here? Being forgetful? Well, I think there are two types. And I'm going to say that some truly do forget, but not because they just slipped their mind this morning that God asked me to be a doer. Not because God asked me to do this and do that, well, I just forgot. No, I think there's two types of those that are forgetful that it reminds us to not be. The first is those that are weak. You are truly forgetful of how to be a Christian after looking at yourself in the spiritual mirror because you just don't know enough. And brethren, that is okay for those who have not yet been Christians very long. God Himself calls them babes in Christ in Scripture. But there comes a time when you must move on from being a babe in Christ and you must mature. If you are still forgetting to do the things of God, why is it? Is it because you don't know enough? Well, then let me encourage you to be a doer. Doing's going to start with, remember, the hearing, the believing it. You need to get in the Word of God and understand what He asks you to do to be a doer. Don't be weak because you just don't have enough knowledge. And don't be a forgetful out of disobedience. There are many, many people today. They are not weak in the Scriptures. They can quote Scriptures to you all day long. But yet they seem to be conveniently forgetful. Calling conveniently forgetful because there are people that can read the same Scriptures that you and I do this morning. And they will take away something completely different on how to worship God. Completely different on how to gain salvation. And they will say it is just by faith alone. And they will go to every Scripture that talks about how important faith is. And faith is important. But then they will discount all, and I mean all Scriptures that talk about baptism is essential for salvation. And they will call baptism just a sign, an outward sign you've already been saved. Though 1 Peter 3:21 says that the time when you are saved is the baptism, not the belief, not the faith. They will go on a Sunday morning to worship God, adding all types of things that are not found in the New Testament. And they will go and say things, well, I don't see it says not to. I see that there was something in the Old Testament that spoke to worship. Yet all the while understanding we are under New Testament law. It is being a hypocrite. It is being conveniently forgetful. It is being disobedient. Let us not look in the spiritual mirror, the Word of God, read what it says, and walk away and do what we want to. That's not being a doer. Believers must do what the Word of God says. We must do. I have a quote for you that is not spiritually minded, but bear with me. I have a point to make here. For those of you that are Tennessee fans, possibly you'll appreciate this more than others. The head coach of the University of Tennessee recently said, "We're not building a tradition, we're building on a tradition. It's a part of who we are." So why talking about doing and why talking about the Word of God am I bringing in a quotation not talking about spiritual things? Here's the reason. As I read this in an interview, it dawned on me how much I appreciated, as a fan of the University of Tennessee, he's not trying to go in there and change things for the university. He's just trying to abide by what's already there. And then it dawned on me as Christians how well we could please God if we would abide by the same principles. Being a Christian is not about becoming a Christian and saying, how much of the Word of God can I change? I'm a Christian. I ought to be a doer. Let's flip through the New Testament. Well, I see a verse here and a verse there. I think I can add to it, make it a little better. I can worship God in a way He'd be more pleased with if I just add. You know, I think we could make more Christians on this earth if we could tear out this and tear out that and just tell everybody, be basically a good person, have a faith, and you are saved. Let us be more minded to say we are not trying to build, change or change anything of the Word of God, but just build up on it. Change ourselves. As Christians, if you want to be a doer, one of the things that we as humans say to ourselves, if we want to do something great, is we've got to find a new way to do everything. There's no way that it's new and it's going to win souls unless it's brand new. It's a brand new idea. The Scriptures are sufficient. There's no need for us to build anything that's not in there. Just build ourselves on top of what the truth is. Let's remember that as doers. Be doers, but not those that add. If you're following along with me in your outline, You've probably come to the completion. I just ask you to go ahead and put that away and get ready for our song of encouragement while I make this final point for us. Verse 25, I'll read that again. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. I want to ask and answer the question to close with you. Who will be blessed? Well, it is not the forgetful hearer, friends. If you are hearing the Word of God this morning, if you believe it, you have a personal faith in it, you have the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Hearing this and going away and not doing what it says will not place you into heaven. You will not be blessed. Verse 25 says that only the doer of the work, this one, will be blessed. And it talks about this perfect law of liberty. What is this perfect law of liberty that we should even talk about anyway? Why should we look at the Word of God? Why should we do the things that it says? May I suggest to you, first, because it is flawless and complete. There is no need to add a single thing that's in this Word. It is flawless. It is complete. It can complete us. It can perfect us. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There's nothing new on earth that needs to be made up for men that can save you. Just doing what it says. James chapter 2, verse 12 says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." I ask you this morning, you've heard it, you've probably spoke it, are you doing it this morning? Are you doing the things that God has asked you to do? Or are you just continuing to learn and build upon that knowledge and keep putting it off and saying, "I'll do it some other time"? Brethren, that is not good enough. Friends, let me encourage you by reading Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. It does not say he who believes and is baptized at a later date for a show. It says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Are you one this morning who has not yet done what needs to be done for your salvation? I encourage you to do it now. The water is ready. We're willing and be grateful to help you with that this morning. Are you a child of God already? Don't walk out of these four walls and just be a hearer. Let's get to work and let's do it today. If we can help you right now with any spiritual need, let us know as we stand and sing.